Welcome to the Scale Model Podcast. In this podcast, we aim to entertain, inform, and promote the hobby of scale model kit building with interviews, reviews, and news about the hobby. The podcast is available bi-weekly where your favorite podcasts are found, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also get it from our website at scalemodelpodcast.com, where you can find show notes, photo gallery, and so much more. You can also subscribe to get notifications on all our updates, new episodes, and video content. Please support the Scale Model Podcast on Patreon. Patreon supporters enjoy early access to content and exclusive contests. Your Patreon support helps us to offset hosting and other costs to bring the podcast to you. Welcome to episode 138 of the Scale Model Podcast, sponsored by Cult TV Man, Sean's Custom Model Tools, and Return to Kit Form. I'm your host, Stuart Clark, and I am joined by, or shall I say rejoined, by my two other partners in crime. First of all, from the good old USA of A, where the weather comes about 12 to 18 hours before it hits here, Mr. Terry Measley, how are you, sir?
Good evening, gentlemen. I will attempt to craft suitable rejoinders.
Excellent. And that other laugh you hear, of course, is from the North Shore of Lake Erie, where there's more shore erosion. It's getting closer, Mr. Jeff Hyland.
Yes, exactly. The lake is that much closer to our home now. We lost a few trees. I sent a picture to you guys. So
yeah,
one of them, and actually the more interesting one, we live down one side of our property. It's a ravine down to the river, and at the end it's the lake. And the ravine down to the river, two nights ago we had a bit of a windstorm.
A bit of a windstorm.
I know, it was pretty bad. And we were watching TV, and all of a sudden the house shakes, like boom, and oops, the house shakes, and we started looking around, running around, turning on the outside lights. What hit the house? Nothing hit the house. Couldn't see anything. Next morning we looked. A massive tree down in the ravine went down and took down about two other trees on the other side of the river, kindling everywhere. It's amazing. Didn't see any deer carcasses. That's what I was hoping to see, but no such.
Well, no such. So in other words, you'll be warm, but you'll have to find your dinner elsewhere.
Exactly. No venison for me.
No venison for you. Sad to see. Alrighty. So. Alas, real life interfered, so that's why we didn't have a show last time, but this is going to be the post-Heritage Con, because we can still say we're in our Heritage Con buzz, shall we say, and all another amazing time, but we'll talk about that shortly. First, I want to, of course, thank our Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee supporters, and as always, check out our What We Like page for lists of what we like. I do have to do a little bit of updating there. Okay, Heritage Con. The final results have been posted, so I put a link up there. An absolutely amazing show. We had a great time. We've got a couple of interviews, including Andy from Andy's Hobby Headquarters, and Jeff and I talking with that troublemaker Chris Wallace
about various things. Very troublemaking.
He is a troublemaker, but that's okay.
Yeah, we missed you there, Terry. But it was a pretty good show. It wasn't as good as last year when you came.
Yeah.
So
definitely not.
I definitely have to say that you are what made the show last year.
Thank you.
Yeah, many many people asked. They said, "Where's Terry?" And you know, we had to say, "He's not here. He's off saving the world."
Most of them were trying to serve papers or something. I don't know, but
yeah,
something
could be
wrong.
That could be right.
That's why I won't go back to Canada, I guess.
That's what happens, you know. Damn it, I thought we bribed the right people. Obviously not, but we'll have to see. There will be a next time, I'm sure.
And we had a few other podcasters up too.
Yes, yeah, we did. We had Mike and Dave from the Plastic Model Mojo. We had D-Ran. We had a ton of people. We also had people from all over. We had people from England. We had Sunny Sai from IPMS Vancouver. It was good to see him in person at last, meet him. He had a great time. He even won, I think, a category. And then, of course, as Jeff was saying pre-show, Jeff was bad on the shopping front, and so was I because the tool manufacturers weren't there. So we didn't have a choice. We had to buy kits.
So it's their fault, is it?
Also, Panda wasn't there this
Panda
year.
Panda wasn't there. Well, the vendors' table sold out in less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I figured they were just late to the party, sadly. So yeah, it's their fault. Jeff and I bought a lot of kits.
I didn't buy that many, but I bought a lot of shuttles.
You bought a lot of shuttles, and then you got wound up because everyone thought he bought three, but one was the 747 in the shuttle, but it just had the 747.
Yeah,
So he spent
exactly.
half the show explaining that to people. You know,
It's
no,
one of
I did
those.
not buy three.
It's one of those things that I'll for our listeners. There's a reason why you should look inside the box before you pass your money across to the vendor. I still probably would have bought this kit, but it may have cost me less because I didn't realize when I bought it. I knew it was missing the shuttle because the vendor was honest and he told me that. And he also told me that the guy beside him had a shuttle, so I could buy it from him.
See
But
how
he
good
didn't
was that?
tell me that there were no decals in it. He didn't tell me that it was missing the connectors, like the connections between the plane and the shuttle. So there's no way to mount the shuttle on top of the 747. So in a way, that's not a terrible thing because I kind of figured I was going to make them out of brass anyway, just to get a really good solid connection. But even so, it's kind of like, definitely look inside the box before you buy a discounted kit.
Exactly. You know what? I call that an opportunity. That means you may have to buy a metal lathe.
Oh no. But you know what I
A
did? The one thing I wanted to
saw.
buy when I was at Heritage Con, I wanted to get us some like a whole bunch of different sizes of Albion Alloys tubes. And I saw them there, totally forgot. By the
Oh,
time I'd
dear.
gone around six times, I figured I'll pick them up on the last round.
Yeah, you know.
And I didn't. I ran
Oh,
out of them.
dear. Well, fortunately, a lot of local stores have them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I was going to use. I was going to try using that and a little bit of solder and
Yeah, there you go.
make some fancy little. I've never worked with brass and metal
Yeah,
before,
well,
so.
I had a couple of Holy Grail kits I found. I found my, what was it, 1/350th Orion Space Clipper from 2001. Fairly new store, Cooper's Hobbies. They've opened up in the Guelph, or Kitchener-Waterloo, I should say. So they were there at the show, and they had that one. So I got a
I
good
picked
deal
up
on
a
that.
few things from them. They're really nice.
Nice couple running it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to
Fair
checking out their store.
prices too.
Very
Really quite
fair,
nice.
very fair. I got, what else did I get? I got an F-22 for my What If Canadian, continuing that series. What else did I get? I got a bunch of stuff. I've been sorting things out, but yeah, it was, you know, just stuff that caught my eye. It was a really good deal. So yeah. I did get a 1/700 scale hood. So another one for the ships,
Another one of
although,
those ships that are going to go into your pile of I'm never going to build this.
well, I don't know. You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
You guys at the club are going to have me building a ship soon. So we'll talk about that later
Oh, we
as
will.
well.
I wasn't sure if we had talked about that yet, but we definitely must, and you must tell us the name of that ship when we get there.
Exactly. Or the name of the admiral.
Yeah, one or the other. Exactly.
One or the other. I'm sure most people will do that. Okay. Also, we're recording this on the 15th. The Amps National Show just finished last weekend. From what I saw, some of the other podcasters were there, and our local club president, IPMS Canada president, Mr. Frank Donati, was there. He cleaned up quite well at the prizes, and I'm sure he got himself a good haul. I haven't seen a picture of his haul yet, so
No, I haven't even heard. We'll
I'm
find
not
out.
sure if he's smuggled that back in or not.
We'll probably find out on Wednesday night on
Yeah,
meeting night. So.
that's right. So, but no, it looked like it was a fantastic show again, AMP. So, congratulations to the committee. That was in South Bend, Indiana. Looks like it was a good show. Also, an upcoming show. We did hear from our good friends at IPMS Houston. Model Mania 2024 is coming up. This is on May the 4th. It's like the largest show down there in Texas area. So
What a great date for a show, though.
I know.
Yes.
Well, that's why they have dual themes this year. May the 4th be with you for Star Wars, and Adversaries, natural combatants. They're also introducing the Best of Show Mecha Award, and they also are implementing gold, silver, and bronze, as well as feedback sheets. I thought they've done this for a few years already. They don't use the standard IPMS judging, so you know,
Well,
good
hey, we
for
may have
them.
to get those guys on.
Yeah,
See if we can get some
I think we're going to get them
representatives
on.
on and talk about how some of this stuff works for them.
Yeah, definitely. We're gonna have to see because it's something, you know, our own show we're gonna be doing as well, you know. So, you know, we
Yeah, I mean, it
basically
would be,
confirmed that.
it w and I think more and more are going to be going this route too. It's
Yeah.
just the biggest fear is judging overload, like the workload that you're going to impose on the
Yeah.
judges.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how everybody
Yeah,
deals with that.
I think a lot of it comes down to training and making sure you have clear what you're judging on, clear expectations in the judging sheets. That's the impressions I'm getting as I've had a little bit of time to do some more research on it.
Oh, I think for sure. But the other side of it is that in order for that system to work, you kind of need to have some comments on the sheets. Like, okay, what did you do well? What could you improve on? And that takes time.
Yeah,
So,
or you have like a checklist with a comment thing, like we notice seams, we notice decals, silvering. Again, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, alrighty, we have a mailbag this time. We have quite a few people commenting. So, Paul Redding wrote in. He's written before. We talked about how some of the F1 cars
I
don't
thought we
have.
blocked him. I thought we finally
Oh
blocked
no, he
him.
got through
I
somehow.
can't
That was
afford to block anybody.
no,
Yeah, exactly. We need
exactly.
all of your responses we can
We can
get.
get. Anyway, he wrote,
Kidding, Paul, kidding.
you can get third party decal sheets for F1 cars that have the cigarette and the booze logos
Oh,
on them.
good to know.
So he pointed out a link from ScaleMates on the Italeri McLaren on the MP4 2C that has those links.
That's good. Good to
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, so that was good. So he pointed out that out.
Thank you, Paul.
Joe Middleton, I love the podcast. Keep up the great work. I was just listening to your banter with Terry about the only reason you like special hobbies being their tendency to keep the website up to date. Amen, brother. Which leads me to believe you might enjoy the website of Arcus Hobby Color.
Arcus.
Arcus? Arcus?
Arcus.
I'm like the Canadian version of Dave Goldfinch. You know, just go with that.
Yamamoto Hobby Color.
Yamoto Hobby Color.
Yamato.
Yamato, Yamoto, whatever. They are a long-time paint producer from, and I'm not even going to try that town name.
Zaporizhia.
Okay, thank you. In the Ukraine, they keep the website up to date with new paint releases and include historical references, a blog, and a model gallery, where they do an in-depth magazine-style feature on different kits finished using their paints. And they do.
Cool.
These are,
Sounds great.
yeah, these are enamel paints. But yeah, it's awesome. They got a whole bunch of stuff here, and very impressive. Again, I don't paint enamel, but for those who do, you get paint sets. You got like modern stuff, the Ghost of Kiev, Ukrainian fighters, US Air Force Vietnam War, World War II stuff. A lot of Ukrainian, obviously. But yeah, quite the paint line. So definitely, it was founded in 2013.
These are Canadian dollar prices.
Yeah.
15 bucks for a set for USAF Vietnam War
Yep.
colors.
Yep.
And that's six.
Yep.
That's a good price.
That's a good price. Like I say,
Yeah.
yeah, they seem to do mo actually that you can get acrylic or enamel. My apologies. I was first looking. And yeah, they have acrylic sets, the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah, US aircraft, US RAF aircraft over MTO, basic paint sets, Siege of Tobruk, you know, a lot of your RAF stuff. So yeah, definitely an option. I'm just looking at the acrylics now, but yeah. Very nice. So definitely check them out. And they've got a whole list of models in their gallery, which people have done that are just absolutely gorgeous.
Nice. I
yeah.
am going to have to look at this more closely.
Yeah, they got some cool stuff here. Second page has the Venom. That
Course,
looks nice.
we'll find out that the shipping costs are,
Well, that's a whole other story. But no, it's
second
good to see.
mortgage.
No, I always like to see another paint line. Well, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I see Revell's redone their acrylic paint color out of Germany. Their acrylics are now in dropper bottles. So yeah, so bunch of podcast or not a bunch of YouTubers, a few of them over there. I'm not sure if it's Chris Mettings, but a few of them over there have been playing around with them. So yeah, a lot of new paint lines change. Everyone seems to be changing to the dropper bottles. So anyway, that was Joel from Mansfield in the UK. Next up, we have Artie in Surrey, England. Thank you for the podcast, which is excellent. Jeff Zeppelin Diorama was 100% fun, and I'm sure the actual documentary record of this event was lost or destroyed prior to Germany's defeat in World War I.
I'm pretty sure that's true,
I'm
actually.
pretty sure. He did attach two pictures from the latest issue of New Scientist magazine. I just put one in because the other one was a bit blurry and had the text of the article. That basically, it the feature of interest was called The Power of Solitude, suggests our solitary hobby is good for our health if you exclude the chemicals we may be breathing in. The term used is crafting solitude, where we carry out a meaningful solitary activity which reduces stress and anxiety and improves relaxation. You should see when I have to do photo etch.
I'm just sitting here thinking the same thing.
Certain aspects of the hobby. Here in the UK, some doctors working in our National Health Service, still free at the point of delivery, do social prescribing, linking people to activities and social groups to help improve well-being. Help for Heroes has already established that model making helps their mental health. Help for Heroes is like Operation Vet Build.
Operation Vet Build, yeah.
Yeah, similar thing. So maybe the next time I visit my GP, I will be prescribed an Airfix model kit. Best wishes to the team. Wouldn't that be nice if I could claim that on my health coverage?
There we go. Yeah, yeah, and we've talked about the therapeutic value of essentially crafting, of making something, and the focus it takes, and moving your mind from something that's bothering you to something productive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be, societally useful for anybody but you.
Exactly.
But it's you.
And I admit, when I don't get time on the bench, I do notice it. So, definitely something to think about. Okay, a lot of hobby announcements. Andy's Hobby Headquarters, they have announced their latest 1/16th kit. It's an M113 APC. And I know this has made Mr. David Goldbench from On the Bench and a lot of other Australian modelers very happy, very much in demand kit. So he was very happy to announce that. We actually were under an NDA because we had
Whoa,
heard of.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
Yeah, open the link and the video started playing. Right?
We opened the link and Andy very enthusiastically started yelling
that's
at
Andy.
Me.
That's only through your headphones.
Unfortunately. But we were under a little bit of an NDA because he let it slip when we were talking to him, because he wasn't sure if he was going to announce it there or at it, the weekend of Amps. But there was some other exciting news from Andy, and we'll talk about that shortly. A lot of armor modelers are very happy with that. Trumpeter in May, they have announced they've got an Apache, and one that may be exciting to certain British modelers, a Fairy Fulmore Mark II from Trump in 148 scale. So it was a British carrier-borne fighter aircraft that served with the Fleet Air Arm. Their total of 600 were built. It was based on an earlier one, which was became a replacement for the Fairy Battle Light Bomber.
Yeah,
but
and this is an update to their kit.
Yep,
their Mark I kit.
Yep, this looks nice though.
Yeah, I was curious because there was an older 40 scale Fulmar from MPM than. Trump, no, then Edward did a version of it, and I think somebody else, Special Hobby or somebody, released it.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting to see. I'm trying to think if I've got one or not.
Well, you know what I like, and that we're seeing this more and more. It comes with the masks for the canopy, for the greenhouse.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. And it's a little appropriate amount of
photo etch,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that is, let me just go back up. It's going to be roughly $50 US. Via Hobby Link Japan.
Wow. Yeah. Well, HLJ's prices right now are kind of weird.
Yeah. But, you get the idea. Standard price or something like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Then they've got the AHA or AH64A Apache, the early model, 135th, $62. So this is the first generation of the U.S. attack helicopter. Lots of decals, lots of stores. Again, canopy masks.
Yep. And again, these are just basic poor build-ups, right? So you can see where the parts are, and
it's got the engine compartment. You can detail. They got the pulley engine there, so that looks good. A few little areas for the electronics.
35th scale.
Yeah,
there you go.
Looks good, actually.
It's it even does. Got, it looks
it's
really
even
good.
It's even got the rivet lines on the canopy. For the
yeah,
frames.
That's impressive. That's
yeah,
kind
that's
of
actually really nice. Thank God they come with masks. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I like Terry's comment, poor buildup of the test kit, which is, I think, bang on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain about it, though. It makes me
no,
feel good.
No, it's fine for this. It's actually kind of welcome for this.
Right. Yeah.
Because you can see what the parts are.
Yeah.
There's glue on the clear, there's fingerprints on the clear parts. Yeah. We're not critiquing his builds.
No. I don't. You got to do it fast. And
poor guy probably had 2 hours to do it.
And these are probably test shots. I hope there's some sink marks on the Fulmar that I hope go away.
Right. Right.
And anyway, you can sort of see rough cleanup areas and that sort of thing. But that, again, I'm not, to your point, not critiquing the build, nope, because obviously they're doing it to a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, Fulmar is made for a wing fold. If you look at it.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, that nice. Should be fun. So that's will be available like now, basically. Okay, moving on. IBG's released their catalog for 2024. This thing is massive, so we're not going to go through the whole thing.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah, a lot of goodies in various scales. They haven't marked which items are new or which ones aren't, other than the IAR 8081, a Romanian fighter, new tool with full riveting based on a 3D design. And again,
I like on page 7 at the bottom, they've got two secret items, and they won't show you what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, that's the only annoying thing. But again, look at all the number of items they have.
Well, some of these are marked new.
Yeah, a few of them are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, armored cars. But again, look at the sheer number.
It's a whole bunch of 72nd scale armor.
Yeah.
And they're also doing the World of Tanks stuff. And that's, is that 72nd or is that 87th? Is that HO?
No, I think it's 72nd.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah, they don't do HO. The only one I know does HO or is Revell has the old Matchbox molds, generally speaking. And then 135th, again, just a huge number of items. Absolutely huge. There's a Panzer II German light tank limited edition. 1/700 scale ships, and then into aircraft. A lot of Eastern European, Polish type aircraft.
Yeah. Whole range of Bedford trucks.
Yep. Painting masks. And now they're also starting with 3D printed accessories, I see here. So you've got various things. Exhausts for Falk with 190s, etc. Crew. Now this one says cooperation, so I don't know if they must be working with another manufacturer for some of these Sukhois and MiGs. And then they got a series of books. So yeah, quite a large number. We just wanted to point out. So if you're into any of those subjects, it's worth taking a browse. You'll probably find something that you may find useful.
Yeah, it's nice to see some of these manufacturers doing 3D printed stuff for their own kits. If they were dissatisfied or wanted to make options and such, this is a great way to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very cost effective, and it's one way to expand their product line into having more potential customers. So.
Yep, a lot of SKUs. That's what I say. Definitely. All right, moving on. Das Work has the 135th scale GFF Eagle 4. This is the German Army's equivalent of the Humvee. It's like a Jeep or a light combat vehicle, four wheel drive sort of thing.
Only light compared to a tank.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, it's not going to stop a tank round, but
yeah,
it's basically just like the Humvee or whatever the new U.S. vehicle is. It's got, you can put various things on top, weapons and guns and missiles and stuff like that. It's in various service, been in, they've built over 400 of them, four different decal and marking options.
Yeah,
including
looks nice.
Including some where they did some peacekeeping. The Irish Army also has them too.
I like the these in action shots. That winter shot there with the Fuchs as well as the Eagles.
Yep.
With the nice chains on the tires and everything. That's I want to see that at a show.
I can.
Yeah, that's good. That's
fantastic.
Yeah, I can see some guys in IPMS Ireland wanting this because it's got the. Sorry, I should have said the Irish Army peacekeeping effort in Mali when they were doing UN work.
Mm.
So that's one of the images. Yeah. And then you got some CAD images there showing the various stuff, including the Pirelli tires, lots of photo etch, lots of
details. I like the camo options on this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just one color, which is kind of nice,
right,
too.
Yeah, lots of different schemes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be nice. So that is from DOS Work. Do we have a when?
We
Not
got
yet.
enough. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it doesn't have an actual date. I'm sure it's coming out very, very soon. Then we have from MiniArt, a 35th scale Puma, the 8-wheeled German armored car. The SDK have said 234. So this.
I love the mini art, you know, the pictures,
Oh yeah.
because they do put a lot of good historic references up.
They also put a lot of parts up.
Yeah,
This, I'm just
yeah.
saying, if you look at the next pictures with the CAD and the photo etch,
Oh my God.
yeah.
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 Oh.
Lots of goodies. You know, like why have three parts when you can put eight?
Well, look at all, like, this is kind of neat, the picture where they've got all the blue shaded
Yep.
panels. All of those things can be opened up.
Yep.
They can be posed opened or closed in the kit. And oh, like a super detailer can go insane on
That's a
this.
lot of panels.
Yeah, no
A lot of
kidding.
storage compartments, a lot of, wow, yeah.
Well, again, it is mini art.
Yeah,
You
true
know, why
enough.
do it in three parts when you can do eight?
I'm
That's.
disappointed that it's not in 172nd scale. I mean, it's
Well, I know.
135th,
Give it time.
really.
The 1350 is being announced soon.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. With 400 parts.
Yeah, exactly. So, yep. So that's they have coming soon for those ones currently. What else do I have here? Oh yeah, R2 Miniatures. I hadn't heard of these guys before, but they've got a quite a nice, gorgeous. You were talking about the UA, you know, the UH. H64 Apache. This is some aftermarket stuff. So from R2 Miniatures, new crew and weapon sets for Army attack chompers, including some pilots, some resin pilots,
Wow, look at
pilot and a
these
gunner.
guys.
Aren't they gorgeous?
That's insane.
With their helmet mounted.
They look like the Borg. That's
Yep.
incredible.
Yeah.
Heads up
Basically,
and
he turns his head.
yeah.
That's where the gun goes.
That's amazing.
And then you've got a ground crew set unloading a Hellfire.
Nice.
That's very
Lift
nice.
with your legs, guys.
Yeah, I
Yeah, no
know. Kidding. These guys are asking for back problems.
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you've got a guy unloading some ammo, some 30 mil ammo. Again, 3D printed.
It looks like Han Solo. He's baked in carbonite
Yeah.
there.
But they're showing
That,
some. Go ahead.
yeah, that is a problem with digital sculpting.
Yeah.
Is that there's a little less life to them.
Yeah.
But
But you can paint.
yeah.
Yeah. And
That
then,
said, the pilots look fantastic.
oh, I know.
yeah.
And then you've got some ammo boxes for 30 mil ammo boxes, a 4-piece set. And you can do separate packages for most
Oh.
goods. And a ground crew set loading Hydra rockets.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's,
So,
these are beautiful. These are
yeah.
really, really nice.
Yeah. And then they got a pallet set for your Hydra rocket. Your 2.75 inch Hydra rockets.
You
So
better
how
go out
they.
and get that new fine scale modeler guide to painting miniatures if you're going to go
Yeah,
down
no
this road.
kidding. But like look at the picture of what comes with the pallet set. You know, it comes with all the rockets, so you can put all the rockets in, you know, or you can just have some in, some sealed. They've also got the Hellfire missile container set. Six of them there. So yeah, everything you need. You know, for a
Wow.
killer diorama, I'm hoping we see a good diorama or two on the tables, you know, coming up with
Wow.
that.
Wow. Wow. All
All
right.
right.
You certainly blow your budget on this for aftermarket.
I
No
tell you.
question there.
Well, here's
AGM
the here,
14s as well.
yep. Here's another thing you can blow your budget on. You know, if you can't afford a real workshop, you can build one in 1/35th scale, and you're one step closer with a giant lathe machine from MiniArt.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's not giant. That's just a regular. That's just kind of a
Well,
normal
it's
lathe.
a, I know it's like a big lathe though. It's
Yeah.
far bigger than a micro lathe, which is the only
Well,
lathe I'll ever see.
yeah, it's not a pen turner.
No.
No,
But you
that's a.
got the CAD, you can adjust it.
Basically, it'd be like a tank repair shop tool or
Yeah,
something.
it's a standard lathe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Cool.
nice, fancy, nice to see something different.
Yep, nice detail there. Okay. Rado Miniatures in April, more 3D stuff, because again, we can never get enough 3D printed stuff. Now, this I thought was hilarious. German World War II belt buckles in 35th scale.
Yes.
So they're going to be tiny. Okay. Let's just get that out of the way right now. Okay. Wow. So various German and various, you know, here Waffen-SS, Luftwaffe, etc. Now this is the one that, and then you have unit stencils. So for your Stugs, your tanks.
If you're going to do it properly, where's the where are the zipper pullers? I mean, you need a zipper puller.
I'm sure that's coming. I'm sure they're thinking about that. When they hear this podcast, they'll know. They'll go,
why didn't we do a zipper
they'll
puller?
They'll go, holy shoot, and Polish, and say, welcome.
With a death's head on it. Right. Perfect.
Now, this is one I found interesting. World War II soldiers insignia, set number 2. So you've got various things like sergeant stripes and stuff like that. Now, this stuff is small, even in 135th, but I don't know how well photo etch is going to replace cloth, if you know what I mean, or like epaulettes. You follow what I'm saying, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to press it down, but you've got every rank you can think of.
Well, some of these are like, were some of these embroidered? Were these more like?
Yeah, they like the sergeant stripes and that would have been embroidered.
Yeah,
most of these, you know, like the epaulettes was a mix.
Or the boards, the epaulette boards.
Yeah.
Such.
The epaulette boards you could probably get away with, but it's like the arm stripes and that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering about, but.
But they would be raised if they were embroidered. I mean,
yeah they would be. You just have to make sure you paint them. It'll be an interesting technique. I look forward to seeing these somewhere.
But filing them clean and holding on to the things.
Yeah. Good that's luck. The thing. You sneeze and good luck. Well, how about this one then? The next one is the World War II German cap insignia. 135th or 116th. My apologies. 116th. That's slightly.
Okay.
Better.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the epaulettes was 135th.
I know, but these ones are 116th for your 116th tanks because, you know, next up is the Stug Panzer III mesh grills for your 116th kit.
Yeah, that's, you're right. There's going to be a whole new industry there for 116th scale.
Oh,
figures.
Yeah. From
nice. Neil will be happy.
Yep. And then moving on, we've got a Morris C8 Dunlop Track Red Thread Fat Wheels, 135th scale. So that's for your commercial C8 field artillery tractor.
Very
Dunlop
nice.
Track Grip Wheel Thread.
Okay.
Ammo boxes, more wheels.
Yep. Lots of goodies.
Lots of wheels.
Lots of wheels. This again for the Morris. A lot of stuff you want if you're building a Morris. Yeah.
Have either of you ever tried to design something in CAD?
Years ago, I played with it a little bit. It's not easy.
Blender seems to be the go-to for a lot of the stuff now.
There is a learning curve. It's like anything else. You have to take, if you take the time to learn it, apparently it's not so bad, but you got to take the time to learn it.
Yeah. So we'll have a few, at least a couple presentations at WonderFest on designing parts.
Yeah, we have a guy in our club, Ron. He's been learning it, and he's given some amazing demo. He does amazing work. So machine guns, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, just literally dozens and dozens of items there. So, you know, no matter what, no matter how obscure it is, you'll probably find it somewhere. Okay, then from our good friends at Vallejo, they've got their latest book out, Diorama. By Marcel Ackel, Diorama Construction and Painting Techniques, 184 pages in English or Spanish, about 75 euros. So a good thick book. This belongs to their Scenic Atmosphere editorial line. And he goes through step by step, how do you create different stuff for dioramas? So just amazing how he uses, you know, he scratch builds stuff. Again, this reminds me of some of the stuff Ron was doing. Before he got the 3D printer.
But I mean, how much of this stuff in this book did this guy pick up at the dollar store? That's the key
question.
Well,
that's the thing. Yeah, Ron's our king of the dollar store.
He owns the dollar store.
Yeah, he does. I think he's on a first name basis. So again, a couple of pictures there. It looks like a gorgeous book if you're into that. Definitely worth checking out from our friends at Vallejo. And I'm still getting used to their brand new logo. They rebranded a while back. And
how will we ever know them?
I know. Last but not least, more updates on Magic Factory's A4M Skyhawk and 148th. We have schemes now.
We've always had schemes, Stuart.
Schemes for...
I know, but schemes for the Skyhawk, my friend.
Oh, sorry. Never mind.
Yeah, that's all right. So first up is VMA 131, the Diamondbacks. Very nice looking commander's aircraft. And very well known. And this one was... the next one was a rather black and white split scheme diagonally, even on the drop tank. So basically, if you look on the right side of the aircraft, black is at the bottom, white is at the top. If you look on the left side of the aircraft, white is on the bottom, black is at the top. And this actually exists. And you can see from the drawings there, you know, that's... that would be interesting to do.
Wow. I guess that way you could tell if it was coming at you or going away from
you. Or going away, yeah. So this one's at the Quonset Air Museum in North Kingston, Rhode Island. Kingstown, Rhode Island. The airframe was acquired from a scrapyard and restored for static display. Unfortunately, it sits neglected now after the museum closed, which is a shame. Mm. But interesting scheme they've decided to do there. And these, of course, are cartograph decals. And they have masks, thank God. So I know a lot of people are looking for... a lot of Skyhawk fans are looking forward to this particular one because there hasn't been a good A4M in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And of course, you got all the ordnance. So a must for Scooter fans. All right.
Very nice.
What's new at Scalemates?
Yes, it's been a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks, no kidding. So first of all, ClearProp did announce, I believe today, they're going to be doing a 1/48 scale F-86A Sabre.
Oh.
Yep, so that's hot off the press. And we should remind people we are recording this on Monday, the 15th of April. We've then got Flyhawk models also announced today. The guided missile cruiser USS Cowpens CG-63 in its 1998 scheme. That's going to be in a big 1/350th. So, and with Flyhawk, you know, there'll be about 17 sheets of photo etch.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff and I saw some Flyhawk models at the show.
I was tempted, but not enough.
Yeah. There's a lot of detail in it. I'm not that much of a ship fan. I know they make great stuff, good for them, but I'm not prepared to go that deep, at least with me. Not at this point. What else here? Amusing hobbies. How about this, Jeff? An ME262 HG3 super detailed with engines.
Yeah, I saw that.
This is a fictional
Delta
wing. Yeah.
Yeah, nice swept wing 262, significantly swept wing 262.
And then a bunch of new releases from Games Workshop. They've got a bunch of new Lehman Russ strike and assault.
Yeah,
tanks.
Yeah, a bunch of new Lehman Russ variants.
Yep, 28 millimeter.
How about that?
Yep. There's the Andy's Hobby Headquarters 1/16th M113A1. If we go down to April 12th. How about an SU-85 Toon tank? Isn't it cute?
Isn't it cute? Yeah.
Isn't it cute?
Nah, I'm not a big fan of the egg stuff. I get the humor in it, sort of.
Now there's people that love it.
Don't take it away from it. It's just not my thing.
Now how about this one? April 11th, 1/72nd scale, Hyundai Rotem next generation main battle tank for Korea, I assume. Mm. That looks pretty wild. Looks very futuristic looking.
Yeah, very. Interesting.
Is that a barrel or a railgun? We're not sure.
What's this on April?
Maybe a railgun. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay. Then we have
Arma models, 1/2700 immobilizer,
418 cruiser. So these were in the Star Wars universe. These pop in and they prevent you from... they basically jam you, prevent you from going to hyperspace.
Yep.
So that's the idea. That's what those four big round things are.
Call them something else in the past.
Yeah, they're jammers of some, but they essentially prevent you from going into hyperspace. So these show up, and so yeah. If you're... no matter what, you can't do like what Han Solo does in the Falcon and zip away, you know, and kind of spoil your whole day, because usually they're accompanied by a few other Star Destroyers and other nasty things that, you know, want to end your world in a bad way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, space probe. I see a space probe.
Yeah, it's one of the metal kits.
Yeah. Sadly, I want a real one, not a metal kit.
Well, metal kits are...
they're all right.
They're a lot better than they used to be.
Yeah, sure. That's true.
But you're right. They're not what we're used to building. So
yeah, exactly.
And we're getting older, so we're stuck in our ways and we're crusty.
That's right. Get off my lawn.
Yeah, damn kids.
ABD models has a bunch of 143 scale commercial vehicles.
Yeah.
On April 7th, the snowplow auger, tractors, semi-tractors, etc. Welsh models has a 1-144 short Stirling Mark I. Model shipwrights has a lot of stuff they're coming out with. USS Barracuda, USS Bonita, USS Cobbler, 1/350th. These
This
are
is
all various
interesting.
submarines. Yeah.
Just on April 4th, the it looks like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 in 4 scale cockpit
Yeah. Yeah.
panels,
Dash
instrument
panels.
panels. Yeah.
From Aero Team. So we've got a
Yeah.
P-51D, a Spitfire Mark V, a Sopwith Camel, and an Z-37 Simic.
Smilek.
Smilek, it must be the country that where the manufacturer is.
Yeah.
It reminds me, you remember the old what is it, a Tattler did 1/12 scale, the F-16 and the
Yep.
F-104 cockpits.
But
But
this is quite a bit
this
bigger,
is
though. I
just the
mean,
panel, yeah.
good reference. Be good,
Yeah.
good as a reference.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That'd be fun.
See what else here? We've got a
Wow, look
French.
at that. On
Which one?
April 2nd, TZ-90 tanker. Sarmat resin 1/144 scale. That's like a big double pup tank
Yep.
Russian battle oil tanker.
Right up until the next drone attacks it.
That'd be great for a Mad Max world, though.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, you could have some fun with that. There's a Crusher Joe garage kit here. It looks like a figure, Terry.
It's Crusher Joe himself.
Yeah, it's the man himself. 1/12 scale.
Metal box. I'm gonna have to look for
All right, there you go. What else?
that.
And then,
Classic pose.
yep. I'm the hero.
Yes.
I'm the hero, damn it.
Yeah. That's the old pelvic thrust.
The girls love me. Oh, hey, from the same company that brought you that resin tanker, they got an AA-60 fire truck
I
in
noticed that.
Thermont resin
Yes.
as well.
And
You
an
know,
air tug.
they're all based on the same chassis. It's a fire truck, or it launches an ICBM, or
Yeah.
kind of that sci-fi look. A 1/16th from H3 models, an SD KFZ 250. Looks like that's the command post of the radio half track. More manufacturers getting into 1/16th. What else do we have here? A couple of motorcycles on the 29th from
Got
Russia.
a resin figure kit, 1/12 Hasegawa Fight, Ixer 1 Ixer or Iser Iser 1 Iser
Oh,
1.
yes. Yep. On the 29th, yes.
A blonde with attitude in this case for sure. My God.
Only in Japan. And then just below that, they've got the 1989 version of Godzilla, the 70th anniversary pack package.
That always
And
looked to me that
he goes
version of
right past Cutie Honey.
I
Yeah.
know,
Jeff goes right past Cutie Honey.
but you know what? It doesn't come with the snakes.
I was look I'm zipping down and all I see was this very tight pink spandex outfit
Yeah.
with lots of
We're a
pretty
family show.
uncomfortable looking lines in
Yeah,
it.
exactly. We're a family show, so.
I know. And then there's Godzilla 1989, which was always the one that looked like a cat that had
Yeah.
pissed off cat.
But you know what? You know what? But like, look, he's in this field of like giant plants or snakes or something. You think they could have thrown one of those into the kit?
You'd think. You'd
It's a
think.
chibi kit, so it's going to be exaggerated.
All right. Well, still.
A juvenile Tyrannosaurus, 1/35th scale by Kyoto.
Kyoto. Oh,
What
they keep
dates
doing that stuff, don't they?
that?
The
What date? The
28th.
28th?
Yeah.
Let's see.
That's one of
March. Oh, yeah.
these little Preston kits.
Yep.
But they
Well,
keep releasing them.
I'm just astounded. I'm just astounded at the variety of subject matter. In any category. Like,
Oh, I
a
know.
so Soviet submarine project 629A with towed array sonar in 1/700
Yeah, but
scale.
you know, we've said in the old days you had to make 10,000 copies to make money. Now
Yeah.
you don't nearly may have to make that much.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
Oh, Luke Groff, they don't even have a picture of the Phoenix D1.
Yeah, they don't have the one in 1/24th. They have the one in 1/32nd, though,
32nd.
below it.
Oh, they're just below it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
just below it.
Yeah.
That's one for Jeff to build right after his Felixstowe.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Yeah.
What?
Did I
Okay.
I'm trying to
Go ahead.
remember if I wound you up with a. I took a picture or I think I sent you a text message when I was at Brofdale's. I don't remember now, but I was at Brofdale's and they had a 172nd scale Felix Stowe. I think I took a picture, but I never sent it to you. I was going to say,
no,
look.
you sent it to me, and
Oh,
I
I did?
replied
Okay.
that I already have that in my stash.
Yeah. All right.
I
See,
have
perfect
that
warm
and
up.
the 132nd scale.
See, so you have no excuse, you're telling me.
And Brufdale's, I noticed, I was there the other day. I noticed that they have two Wingnut Wings Felix
Yes,
Stowe's.
they do. They do.
Wow.
I know exactly. A lot of Porsches, 911s, 934s, 935s, some Arena Modelli, 143rd scale, and various racing schemes.
Very nice.
A nice March 25th, a nice gold Toyota Supra, top secret GT300.
Fine Molds is doing a Studio Ghibli drafting board
From the Studio Ghibli collection, yeah.
with the Porco Rosso
Yeah, I was
racing
gonna say that's
plane on
the
the
Porco
board.
Rosso. It's a
Yeah.
popular
Yeah.
IP. I see the YouTube videos now again.
Yeah.
So
I
why
think
not?
that's great. That's
It is
fun.
awesome.
Love it.
Okay, and let's see
And
some.
just below that, March 24th, Jeff, find maybe a car we can
Yes.
get you to build.
Hang on. I gotta
Get
zip
back
down
into your
again.
cars.
Where am I?
Cut your teeth for your Datsun.
Oh yeah, a 1956 Eshelman adult sport
Sports
car.
car, God.
It looks angry.
Yeah.
I would be angry if it was that size too.
And then last but not least, from Welsh Models, they're coming out with a Boeing P8 Poseidon
Oh
in
yeah,
one to
very
one
nice.
four four. That'll be a good size. I know there'll be some people excited about that. All righty. So
Oh
that
no, sorry.
one more.
Fitch and Foo's Cantankerous Anglerfish
Shape
shaped
submersible.
submersible. I love this guy's stuff.
That has been out of production for
Yeah,
10
Patreon
years.
subscriber. December 2021,
He's doing
Patreon.
files. That's, yeah.
Yeah, 3D
Yeah.
printable. Good for him.
Oh, wait, the Asuka is back too from Yamato. Oh, they're doing a different version of it.
Yeah, they're doing some reissues. Peter Fay mentioned that to me
I have wanted to
the
get
other
a
day.
couple more of these because I would like to do some mods on it.
Yeah, there is some stuff coming out. Peter mentioned there.
Oh yeah,
He,
Bandai
they got
Spirits.
some of the pre-order stuff at Neo Tokyo, or at least the
Oh.
catalog. So yeah, there may be one or two of those ending up in my collection from my evil Neo Tokyo crack dealer.
And a Kirov airship. I love that. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's a Zeppelin. Gotta have
You gotta have it, Jeff. I'm just
it.
saying. Exactly.
It's 1 to N scale. So what is that?
I'm not sure.
1 to N scale.
You
I
make it
know. I
up.
lost track of where you guys were.
Yeah, what date are you on,
Hang on,
Jeff?
hang on. Every time I click back out of the picture,
I
I
know it
know it
doesn't
goes up
take
a
you to the
few.
same place.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
goes all over the place. Hang on, hang on. I found it. I found it. I found it. There it is. March 18th, first item. Border models. Kirov airship.
Oh, yes.
But if you click on the picture and open the full thing, it's got down in the bottom left corner, it's 1 to N scale. So does that mean it's N scale, like 1/166 or one
No,
sixtieth, or
no.
that doesn't make sense. I need it to be comparable to my P-class Zeppelin.
And zero scale. It's maybe scale. No, maybe it means no. I'd have
Yeah.
no. I have no idea.
Yeah,
And
and
scale.
there's no way this is a 1/400 scale, or
No, but
because
it's from the Red Alert 2 game.
I love it.
Yep. Just have another quick look. I got to get one kit. I just remembered one thing I got from Heritage Con. I just got to remember the name of it. Just keep talking.
Blah 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 blah.
Kirov. I don't think it has enough buoyancy, even with all those engines.
What do you think? Yeah, it'll drop those three big bombs and the thing will disappear into the stratosphere. Amazing. That's pretty cool. And a big turret at the front
Yes,
too.
at the front.
Just insanity. But I would and it's interesting because the second one has more than three bombs in it. So at least two more coming down. So
Well, there's
half of
internal storage.
well, but that internal storage means there's even less gas. So
Well,
they're
that's why it has a couple of engines keeping it afloat.
that must be what it is. Yeah, it's the engines.
Yeah, turn in your realism at the door, Jeff. I'm
I
just
know, I
saying.
know. What can I tell you? I just like the obvious graphics.
Yeah. All righty.
Wow, there you go, though.
I just wanted to
That's...
point out, and I'm going to take a picture of this one. I picked up this at
Oh,
the
dear.
show. Like I saw that. I have no idea what it is, but it begs to be built.
Well, the
Someone told
top
me
part,
it's a Japanese IP.
looks like a 1940s era like UFO. I think I'd seen pictures of a UFO that looked like that with legs
With legs.
and big
Carbov.
so
CAB is combat armor.
there were so many of these that they just mix and matched bits and pieces
Oh, I know.
to
I know.
make these
But I
things.
saw that it was a
And
good deal.
they can be super rare, some of
Yep.
these things.
No, I saw that. It was a fabulous deal, and I had to pick it up. It just looked so wonderfully goofy, right up my alley. Because if I didn't, Anthony Goodman probably would have. I'm just saying, it's the kind of thing he might do. Okay, that's Scalemates. So let's talk about some other cool sci-fi goodies from our good friend Steve at Cult TV Man. Here we go. So if you can believe it, it's only 6 months until Halloween. So Cult TV Man's having their 6 month until Halloween sale. You can save 10% on most monster models. So while they're waiting for other new arrivals, they're celebrating monsters early. So check it out. All the good monsters, see them all on sale at culttvman.com. And this will include almost any of the monsters. They have the Glow Vampiria, the Ultraman, Sinbad the Sailor, Hex Marks the Spot, the Glow Kit, all sorts of other monsters that they have. Also, they've got a bunch of amazing stuff coming on pre-order, including the Gamera 1996 from X Plus, the Legion Gamera's Foe from X Plus. You can pre-order those now. What else do they have here? Frankenstein's Monster in the big 1/8 scale and the Wolfman in the 1/8 scale from X Plus. Also, the Reliance coming back. Reissued kit, the 15337 USS Reliance on the way. They're going to start shipping probably by the week that this drops. You can get it and order it already. And don't forget, lots of vintage model kits and toys. Don't forget to tell them the Scale Model Podcast sent you. All right, our main topic tonight, Post Heritage Con. What a show! What a show! Good time, good friends, good weather for
Great
once.
weather.
Great
Not too
weather
bad
for
wind
driving.
either.
Exactly. No, it was good. I got there nice and early, managed to get set up. I had the Model Geeks as well as the Plastic Model Mojo. They were there, so we had a good time meeting a lot of listeners. Nice to meet people. So we have a couple of interviews. So we're gonna start off with the one with Andy from Andy's Hobby Headquarters. So we're gonna go with this right now. Okay, we're back again with Jeff, and we've got a very special guest here at Heritage Con.
Yes, we do.
We do. Andy from Andy's Hobby Headquarters, way down in the Southwest, where he did not bring up any nice weather.
Right. Yeah, thanks very much for that.
It was 85 degrees when I left Phoenix, Fahrenheit. I don't know how that translates in the
It's
South.
Hot. It was hot.
It was bloody
hot.
Hot.
Damn hot.
85 is very nice, actually. It was shorts and t-shirt weather.
26,
but...
27, 28.
Oh, okay.
That's, like in here in Canada, when you arrived, it was, what, 2 degrees, 1 degree
it was negative.
Celsius?
It was negative. So. It was definitely, because it was below freezing, and as soon as I touched the ground down, it was starting to snow.
So and for the record, see? That's shorts and t-shirt weather for Canada, just so you know.
Yeah.
Not for this guy.
No. Nope. And I see you got your Timbits, you got your donuts,
I
you
did.
Got your
that
Timmies.
Was the first thing. Did you? If you go on Facebook, on my Facebook channel, I'm there in the blizzard.
I saw that.
Holding a cup of coffee and a donut. So.
Okay, so we're going to open by very exciting news because one of the questions I constantly get, and I wanted to ask you, and as Canadians, and you're well aware of this too,
sure.
Especially when you're in another country, shipping back and forth between our American friends and Canada seems to be a nightmare. Especially when certain courier companies are involved, who will remain nameless?
It shouldn't remain nameless.
No, you can name
UPS.
Them.
UPS
sucks.
Yeah.
Let's be frank
let's
here.
Let's be frank.
If UPS, if it comes to a UPS shop from the States to Canada, basically just bend over.
A lot of people were saying no, and that was unfortunate because you guys were, and you've heard it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've heard it. So you've got some very exciting news you announced today at HeritageCon. So without further ado.
Yes, we will have a Canadian distribution center up here.
Yeah!
So it'll be
Yay.
andyshhq.ca. So it'll be in Canadian dollars, Canadian shipping. There
awesome.
Will be no other one else involved with all that.
Perfect.
It's going to be a separately run distribution center up here, so it won't have the exact inventory that my Well, and that's the same with the European
site.
With the European site, right.
I was going to say you have a European site.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited about that because in the past, I hear all of you guys talk about that, and I always felt bad because I go, it's truly not me.
I know. When we get it.
Yeah, I think we all know that. That's the thing.
Well, they sometimes get yell at me, and they're like, what are you charge? And I go, the $40 we charge, I lose money. Most of the time, it was $50 to $60.
Yeah.
With UPS to get it up to you guys, and then you guys get dinged again too. And,
I know.
And it was just a matter of we had to find a way to get around all this, and we have. It'll be coming out of the Toronto area, so big
and
population.
What sort of date? What sort of timeline?
We're looking at sometime early May,
early
so
May.
Very soon.
So that'll be
month,
exciting.
Yeah.
And of course, we'll make sure we re-mention it again when it comes. So it's always great to have options.
Absolutely.
So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and you know, and I've told this to people, and people have heard me say it on the air, you get it in terms of a hobby shop, in terms of the internet. Give us a little bit, a 3-minute history of Andy's Hobby Headquarters.
Well, very simply. So I originally started a store with my father back in San Diego when we lived there. We had just sold a different business that we had, and we were both sitting there. It was in the early 90s, and we were like, what kind of business do we want to do? And I said, you know what? I want to do a hobby store. I used to do it as a kid. I had to actually stop modeling because I had a new wife. I had little boys. And you know, you
it
don't
happens.
Have time to do
yeah.
it. And he said, that's a good idea. And back then, there was no internet. We picked up the U.S. business-to-business phone book and started calling distributors. And that's how we got started. I spent 9 years more in there. And then with Costa San Diego, it was so crazy. And with a new family, I go, listen, we're moving to Phoenix. A year later, we had the first store. In fact, one more week is my 20th anniversary in Arizona. So
no, happy anniversary.
Thank you. We're gonna have a big celebration for that.
That's
and
great.
Then
That's awesome.
After that, I always would get people come into my store and they say, hey, how do you do this stuff? How do you do this? How do you do that? And it's hard. You can't set up an airbrush and show somebody right there on the spot. Yeah. So I go, I'm going to make a simple YouTube video. And the first video I did was stills. It wasn't even video. I didn't have any software or anything to do. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yep.
Still basically don't know what I'm doing.
I say that with podcasting. I don't know what I'm doing.
Still don't know what we're doing.
And I made the video and I put it on, and that was the early days of YouTube. Still, it was like 15? Yeah, I think 15. And I put it on. Nothing really happened right away. And I came back a month later and I had 10 subscribers and 1,000 views. And I went, this is incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that was on my personal account. I got rid of that account and opened up the Andy's Hobby Headquarters.
Right.
And that's what it was.
The rest is history.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of took off. And I always did it. I never, ever claimed to be fabulous modeler or the best in the world, but I knew what my customers were.
Yeah.
My customers are most, 90% of them are weekend warriors that want to have fun with this hobby. They wanted their kit to come out good. If you don't go to a show or anything, what do? You show your wife and she goes, cool, and then walks away from you.
If you're lucky,
right.
She says,
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, my wife's in the business with me on it, and she's like, yeah,
well,
that's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. No, but all kidding aside, you know, they just want to better it, and that's the number one comment I get. Thank you. You taught me how to do this. I'm not claiming to be like the national winner of this or that, but I make it fun. Hopefully I come across that I'm excited about this hobby. I am. I've been doing it forever.
Are, yep.
I'm excited
and
about it.
And it shows. It shows in the videos, and that's one of the key things. What have you noticed, let's say, in the last 5-6 years? We know we've had an explosion in social media.
Yes.
Stuff like that. Yep. Do you have any comments, positive or negative?
Well, I mean, this is going to sound weird, but COVID was big for the modeling industry.
It's huge.
I mean,
definitely.
It's a negative for what happened, but it was a huge positive for the modeling because all of a sudden we were all stuck at home.
Yep.
And hey, you know what? I used to model, a lot of people said, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go back to do that. We can't go anywhere else.
Yep.
Nobody's going on vacation. Nobody's traveling. Nobody's doing anything. And that was the thing. And that's when it even kind of exploded bigger into a just phenomena with that.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I decided to do my own kits, which was that was kind of a fluke too.
That's
to start.
Kind of wild, yeah.
And the reception I had was huge, and I'm so thankful for that. Very,
yeah,
very thankful.
And we're seeing that like today.
Right.
You've had, you know, I see 1/16th kits flying off the shelf.
It's like creating a niche. Like you created a niche,
right,
for yourself.
And that's where you're getting a lot of people, hey, when are you gonna do 35th scale? And yes, in the future we might. But right now
it's pretty well served. That's the
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. When am I going to make another Sherman that
Tamiya,
Dragon, 30 other companies have already made.
Well, exactly. And I think what's interesting is, you know, we're seeing a lot of younger people coming in. But we're also seeing a lot of adults who are coming in as adults. And let's be frank, our eyesight's not what it used to be.
You hit the nail on the head with me.
Big kits are in.
They're easy to hold.
Yep.
Very hard to lose a part in 16 scale. Usually
give me
I drop
time.
It.
Give me time. I can probably do it.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but you drop something. Oh, there it is, right there on the floor. 35th scale. I have no freak. I have commercial carpet in my store where I build, and I still lose parts. How is it gone?
I know.
I'm nothing around here.
There's a wormhole.
It bounces into the Netherland, and I'm like, a 16th, not a problem.
So what are the challenges are you finding in terms of the industry? Like you as a vendor, you know, you're a vendor, you've got a local storefront, you've got these online sales. What challenges are retailers are you finding that's happening these days? Are you finding anything?
Not really. I mean, I have to say, it's very, very good. Where we are in Phoenix, L.A. is 5 hours away and Long Beach.
Yep.
So all the stuff comes directly
in.
You're
really close. You don't have those supply chain issues.
Nothing. There was for a while there.
I was going to ask about that.
It was for a while. Yeah. The height of the pandemic, there was a somewhere.
Right.
But now, not a problem.
Right.
After 2.5 weeks after it leaves the factory, it's in Long Beach, 3 or 4. The biggest problem is actually getting it from Long Beach sometimes to Phoenix.
Yeah, typical.
Just finding a truck
to
bring it over to us. And I know that it's an extra day or two, but and then it's over to us and we're set. So and there's so much new stuff coming out.
Oh, and that's the other thing I'm saying is there's just so much, so many different paint lines.
Yep. You turn around, there's a new manufacturer, and nothing's junk anymore.
No.
Everything is high quality
because
everyone's using CAD and doing the proper way and beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Yep.
And stuff that you never thought you'd see, you're starting to see.
Well, so. And that's what it, or someone can do a 3D print garage kit.
Yep.
And you're seeing that more and more. Jeff, I've kind of like bounced you out of. Do you have any questions?
No. I was just going to ask actually a question about to the extent whether you've noticed that 3D printing has had any kind of an impact on the business.
A positive impact, I think. I mean,
I've
always been one of those people that I want to embrace new technology.
Make the pie bigger.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what they always say. Oh, it's going to ruin models and people. I go, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
I mean, 3D resin printing is great for some things. There's a lot of things. It still has a long way to go on, and I love it. I mean, my figures are a lot of them are 3D printed for not mine, I should say, for my kits by other companies.
Mm-hmm.
They look beautiful. They're absolutely stunning.
I know.
H3 does 3D printing that you'd swear they shrunk a guy down, it's incredible.
Well, it's like in the model railway space. There's a lot of, you know, like Lionel Strange, who does a lot of railroad stuff. There's a big shtick over on their podcast where he scanned himself, and you can buy 3D various.
Oh, you can put yourself in it.
Yeah,
nice.
Stuff like that.
That'd
so
be fun.
We always finish because we really appreciate coming.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know you're a busy guy.
No problem.
We always ask people two questions. What's currently on your bench?
If anything.
There is, absolutely. There is an M8 Greyhound sitting on my 16 scale one. So I had to build one to finalize it with the fact they said, hey, we need this done. Are you good with it? Because Chinese New Year just finished and I didn't want to get out of rotation.
Right.
So I built it fast and didn't video it. And people, you didn't video. And I'm like, I have to get it. So I said, I'm building another one. And now I kind of stalled because they were getting me all the decals. So everything inside an M8 Greyhound is labeled.
Right.
I don't know if they didn't trust the crew or not, but it says everything has a big white label on it
cool.
with black lettering on it. And so I just Thursday, I left Friday morning at 1 o'clock in the morning, a red eye, to get to Toronto.
Yep.
Thursday night, the box came with all the decals and stuff so I can finish it up.
Could
but I just
go.
Released a diorama 2 days earlier than that that's going
to
drop that on there. So that's on the bench right now.
Okay. And the other question we always ask, and again, this is, where do you see the industry in 5 to 10 years?
Only growing.
Only growing,
Year over year, our sales keep continuing to go up. And now with more access for the Canadian consumer to get a hold of our stuff, that's only going to grow. And our kits are doing well all around the world. So
good.
If a little guy like me can do it right there, it's only...
That's what that's what we say. Like, you see a lot of people down and out, I can't compete with the internet. Well, you got to embrace
Absolutely,
it.
Yeah.
You have to embrace it.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
And I have a very, very successful store in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And a very successful online store. We get people from all over the country, and actually, I get people from all over the world. Yeah, they visit all the time.
Well, we're going to take a picture with you when we're done anyway. We're going to do a selfie. Yep. You're doing a selfie.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah, this
is great.
Yeah, your grandkids will appreciate that. He's already the cool grandpa, but we'll make him a more cool grandpa.
Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on. We're happy to hear this wonderful news. We'll be happy to share it with our listeners.
Absolutely.
All right. That was Andy from Andy's Hobbyist Headquarters. Thank you.
Thanks. You guys for having me on.
Thanks, Andy.
So, yeah, really good interview. Jeff and I enjoyed meeting him. We got some pictures as well. The highlight there, of course, was they're announcing a Canadian distribution center opening in late May. So one of the things that us Canadians complain about, hopefully it'll happen less. He's done this in Europe already. He's got a European one. So basically, he's partnered with a local distributor, and they're going to be you're going to be able to order from there. So I assume it's going to be andyshobbyhhq.ca, but you know, keep an eye open in Andy's space for the announcement.
Yeah, he definitely needed to do that because I had looked at a couple of things at his place, and his prices are good, but the shipping is devastating. I mean, can't do it.
And as he says, he's well aware of it.
And on top of that, I mean, the shipper he uses, who shall remain nameless, tends to screw Canadians because they run it through they charge you for brokerage fees when they're supposed to release it from their storage facility.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But no, we had a nice chat with him. Talked about his history, and they're celebrating 20th anniversary. So they have a 20th anniversary sale on right now, actually. But he, here's a guy that gets the internet. So for all these people that say, all these stores that say, oh, I can't compete. Well, this is an example. Yes, you can. You're basically, you've got to realize you're retailing to the world now. And they had quite a table with a lot of their 116 stuff and a lot of large kits on some good pricing. So he was
very
busy. He was busy all day.
Yeah.
So that was good. Okay. Our next interview was with that scallywag, Chris Wallace. And apparently I have to say nice things about him now. Sorry. Because Chris was nice enough. He won, at the draw. Because Frank Donati's son was not there to hold the tickets, I only won one thing. And the thing I won was Ukrainian combat soldiers, but they're all women. So in combat uniforms from ICM. Anthony Goodman, for some reason, wanted it. So he took that off my hands. But Chris Wallace was nice enough he won this in the raffle.
Nice.
And those two,
I think I've got one of those.
Yeah, it's a VF-19 Azuma EFA Azuma Special Macross Frontier. Absolutely huge box.
Yeah, it's big.
This thing's twice the size of your standard Macross box. So thank you again, Chris. And yes, I always say nice things. And he doesn't have to bribe me because he's a nice guy. So model airplane maker. So what we did is Jeff and I, we basically talked with him about what our thoughts were at the show around 1 o'clock. And here's the interview.
It's the Scale Model Podcast here, live with our live remote truck, live, I'm dating myself here, live from Heritage Con. Absolutely fantastic day. I've got here our recent person who's come back home from the South Carolina, Kentucky, all those areas, Mr. Jeff Hyland. How are you, sir?
I'm well. It's good to be back, although it was a traumatic experience coming back from full bloom azaleas down in South Carolina to a snowstorm at the Canada-Detroit border.
We had to welcome you back.
Yeah, nice of you. Very nice.
And that voice, of course, is good friend of the podcast, Mr. Chris Wallace. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on. It's really great to come down here and see you two.
Well, it's always great to be here. Now, Mr. Anthony Goodman is rumored to be in the hangar. We have not seen him yet. People have eyewitnesses' accounts. I paged him.
I don't believe it.
I know.
He's hiding.
He's hiding from us. Well, we did on the podcast I've just released, because we're recording this on the Sunday. I released the podcast last night. Anthony and I did a good show last week, and he had some very exciting Macross news, because Disney Plus now has the Macross IP. They finally... A lot of Macross stuff is going to be.
What does this mean?
It means all the streaming movies and stuff like that you were not able to get before or had to bootleg. You're going to be able to get it on Disney Plus.
Head to what?
Exactly.
Sorry, two lawyers here. You don't talk about bootleg.
Oh, that's, I certainly talk about that. I got no evidence.
Well, I've heard of this happening, but yeah. I've never actually seen it or witnessed it
personally.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yes, so we're going to call this segment Stuart and the Two Lawyers, I guess. God help us. Okay, so basically I got us all together here. We're also with the model geeks, yeah, and the Plastic Model Mojo. They've joined us as well.
Yeah.
But I just want to get your initial impressions from both of you of the show, and we'll let Chris go because he's our honored guest. What do you think so far?
Well, so far, really, in fact, I was really interested in how many people were lined up before the doors opened today. I pulled in maybe 10 minutes before doors open, and that lineup was the length of the building and growing. So there's a lot of people here first thing in the morning, which is, I don't know, different from what I'm used to. Usually they trickle in all day.
Well, the last couple of times I've been here, we've been here obviously early because of the podcast.
Right.
And so I've never seen the line. And I do remember last year they actually had to shut down people coming in because they were at capacity for the building. I don't feel that we're at capacity this year.
And what happened was they had a chat with the fire marshal after last year.
And they said we could fry more people.
We can fry more people. Well, no, what it was is because the original value the fire marshal had was based on a lot more aircraft parked in the hangar.
Ah.
And what they do is, of course, they move quite a few out.
I did notice that.
Yeah, so they can accommodate more. I think it went from 3,000 to 5,000. Don't quote me, but that's okay, my understanding. But yeah, no, we're not
5,000. Could you imagine?
I can't imagine it.
It's pretty packed around the kits and stuff like that.
The last number, Alan. Okay, sorry. I was just going to try to find out what the updated number was for number of models that are entered, because they've gone to an electronic pre-registration this year.
Thank God.
Thank God. Exactly. Cool. And so they know exactly how many models are actually to be judged this year. And the last I heard, it was over 530. So I don't know where we are now. And that was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
So that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I mean, we were over 1,000 last year, wasn't it?
There's quite a few on the table. So,
yeah.
You know.
I do think last year was a post-COVID pull out all the stops. I've been modeling for 4 years and I got to get out of the basement kind of year.
Yep.
I think it was also easier for our friends south of the border to cross the border, less stringent requirements on them, so they came up as well.
Exactly.
I think we had some interested people, and actually we did such a good job last year, a lot of them somehow wanted to return.
Go figure. What's with that?
And they came back, if you can believe
it. I know.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
You've got Fine Scale Modeler here, and they've been running around taking pictures. And
We've got our Scale Model Podcast poker chips.
We've got Andy's Hobby Headquarters is in town, and he's got some announcements.
I'm hearing rumors there's a very exciting announcement coming. Yes. Yeah, we can't tell you. We're under an NDA.
Would any of these announcements involve something with wings, I hope, maybe?
I can't say. We're going to try and we're going to get Andy. Andy's going to run the gauntlet of all three podcasts here.
Yeah.
Once we get going. Okay, here's Alan here.
Do you guys have updated numbers as to how many models were entered this year?
758.
758.
Then we cut it off because
the cutoff.
Wow.
I think that's perfect. Fantastic.
Thanks, Alan. That was Alan Muro who runs around and you know, poor guy. He's under a lot of stress, and he's looking better now.
Great guy, but he's definitely
running
in
around
five places at once today.
Yep, exactly.
Imagine being the guy with a 751st model. Like, you just got it right in, right before the door shut.
Yeah.
Well, I did say I had been thinking. I've been working on finishing up my XD1 Discovery Mobius from 2001, the Space Odyssey kit, and I was thinking of bringing it, but I realized it's going to be too.
Someone brought one.
But someone brought one, and they did a better job than me.
No,
I really like it.
Well, I'm just looking over now, and there's a guy like with a couple of giant boxes in the diorama section. So this might be interesting.
Make sure you don't turn your head, Stuart.
I know, but let's see. I'm doing this. You see?
And for the benefit of our listeners, I want to announce today that Stuart is now the proud owner of a 1/350th scale Yamato battleship that he will attempt to build and call it by its right name.
Yamato? Can I build something else and then call it the other name?
You can do whatever the hell you want.
I could build a rowboat and then say it's the other name.
You could do that.
Can we get him a figure of the admiral and he can have them both sort of at the same time? So no matter what, he's right.
I will attempt to try photo etch rails. I will say that now. This is for Ian. But I think there might be some aftermarket purchases of 3D printed items to avoid me going completely insane.
And this is the Tamiya kit.
The Tamiya, the big monster.
Oh, it's a nice kit.
I know, it's a very nice kit. Yeah, I've got a couple of the other ones. I've got a 350th scale Fletcher that obviously I'm going to have to warm up on now, thanks to you guys.
You got that one from me.
I know. I got that one from you. It's got a white Ensign photo etch set. So, yeah, no, it'll be interesting. I've been enjoying. I just built a couple of 700 scale subs, the Typhoon and the Los Angeles class. You know, they couldn't call it the Hunt for Red October set, but... That's what it was.
Licensing issue. This is what Jeff and I are always talking.
That's what you guys are. That's what you guys always throw that in and just put the whole, you know, thing away from it. So, anything outstanding, Jeff, that you've seen so far?
Well, I've seen a few things, but it's funny. We've got our chips now.
Yeah,
we've got our gratitude chips, so we can sort of put down for ones we think really are blowing our minds, and it makes you really focus on what you think blows your mind. And because I see a lot of things that I really appreciate. But the ones that I stop and take pictures of are the ones that I'm focusing on. I haven't put a chip down yet.
Okay.
But I've got a few. I did notice, did you see in the fully scratch-built category, they have whatever the hell that plane is that Terry's building now, that Thunderbolt.
Oh, the XP-47, XP-47, whatever.
It's experimental.
Oh, is there one there?
It's a massive green one. Yeah.
I didn't see it yet. I'll have
to
go look.
I took a picture of it and I sent it to Terry by email. So just to freak him out. Because unfortunately, Terry cannot be with us this weekend. He's got commitments elsewhere.
He's a busy guy.
He is a busy guy.
He's a popular guy and busy guy. And, you know, I see
the Chicago area.
Well, and all the shows and, you know, and all that. So, yeah, that tends to happen. Yeah. Anything particularly that's blown your mind?
A few airplanes, because we have Chris Siebert here, and he brought his amazing F-14.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Steve Hustad here, and he brought his Betty. I don't know if you've seen it. 72nd scale Betty.
I'll go check that out. I have to hunt down Chris, too.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous. So if I were to... Put a chip beside one of them, I imagine it'd be one of those two.
You can't put a chip beside one of them if you know both of them.
Yeah, that's true. But I do like both.
The sound you hear is two chips going down.
There you go.
There you go. You can give them away now. We consider you part of the gang. So
nice.
Yeah, there you go.
And do I get all of the other perks and all that
all
kind of thing?
All the abuse. You realize that's the abuse too?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. You know, you can wind up Anthony and Jeff just like I do.
If I ever see him.
I know, if he's around. And Mr. Chris, I haven't seen Chris yet. He's been ignored. I asked him to come see me.
There's quite a few people here.
I'm
it's
very offended.
Challenge
I'm very offended.
It.
I'm just saying. No, I know. I have, because I have to give him shit again for making that Macross kit so amazing that I will never achieve that level of greatness. But
you
that's okay.
You can't go there.
I don't.
That's the photography.
I know.
The photography that
he does. He photoshopped it.
But the thing is, I think that's what it is. Mike, you know, his models, Anthony's models are really mediocre.
And then Anthony does that. Yeah, and then you kind of take the photos.
But the Photoshop work is amazing.
Well, between Chris and Anthony, I've got to find them both. So we'll find them. All right. We're going to wrap this up. I really appreciate that, guys.
Can I say one thing
before
we go?
Of course you may.
I have partnered up with Sterling Kit, and they are going to be working with me to offer for free a high bypass turbofan 3D print engine.
That's
that
right.
Works. That's going to be coming up in April, so you have to head on over to modelairplanemaker.com. I will have the announcement up very shortly.
Awesome.
It's worldwide, no matter if you live in Tibet, if you live in Antarctica, it doesn't matter. Enter, and you could win. There's going to be a couple of little things you need to do, of course.
Right, right.
But nothing painful.
Well, so we got this won't come out for 2 weeks because we just recorded, or, you know, we're recording
so
next
April
week.
So April 5.
Today's the 24th, so 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, so it's in April.
Okay.
Starting April 5, I believe.
Well, we'll send the share out as soon as we hear, and then we'll remind people that you mentioned it here as well.
Awesome.
All right, and that means I don't have to say where do people go to find more about you. ModelAirplaneMaker.com.
ModelAirplaneMaker.com.
And you got a Facebook group now.
Yep.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right.
That's great.
And you have no Facebook group other than ours.
I have no. I try to avoid Facebook.
You have the cool grandpa Facebook group.
I have finished my last of three articles for IPMS Canada.
Good.
Finally got the one on the XD1 Discovery. Off
well, it's
my
about bloody time.
Radar. It's been there for 3 years.
I know. They've been starting to wonder. And we should point out, Jeff brought a Zeppelin.
Is it right over there?
It's right over there.
Yeah, I saw that one. The
pterodactyl.
Yeah,
the pterodactyls.
Really nice.
I know. He did a fine job with that. He's once again the cool grandpa.
Kids haven't seen it yet.
I know. When they see it, they're going to lose their minds.
I think next weekend's our Easter here in Canada.
All right.
So.
Well, and I...
My sister just texted me. This is her first model show. She wanted to see what all the fuss is all about.
Oh, so is she here?
I have to find her and
okay. Well, make sure you bring her by and introduce her. Make sure you introduce us to her.
Because we want to near the Mitchell, the front of the Mitchell.
She'll know what that is.
She knows what that is.
The one with the missing engine. Yeah, and then we can find out all about when he was a youngin.
Yeah.
Oh, the truth.
There you go. I'm sure she's nothing but nice things.
You should tell our listeners, too, that we are in the primo position here.
We are in the absolute primo position.
We are
under
the wing of a B-25 Mitchell bomber with no engines.
With no engines, and they've got concrete pylons to weigh it down. So an excellent diorama idea.
It's a tail sitter, as many of us modelers would know.
Exactly. And it's the gunship, which is the cool
version. It's the cool version. And those giant concrete blocks are handy for putting our purchases on.
Yeah, that's what exactly.
That's about the only thing that'll hold them.
Holding all the kits.
All right. Oh, we just made him choke on his nearly on his Diet Pepsi. Oh dear. Okay, so for this little segment, thank you again, Mr. Wallace.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right,
thanks, Chris.
Thanks, guys. So again, another great interview. We always like having Chris on. He's a good friend of the show. We will get him on again soon again. All right. Any other comments about HeritageCon, Jeff?
Well, the one thing we haven't mentioned is the Musaru Cup.
Yes. I've been kind of blocking that from my. Because I didn't win. Not surprising I didn't win. But no, they had the announcement there. Chris Mettings took the cup. Rightly so. Gorgeous looking destroyed vehicle he did.
Well, I heard there was quite a bit of controversy amongst the other podcasters on that. But because Chris's entry actually was incomplete. It did not have tires, and it was missing large sections
destroyed.
Of upholstery.
It was destroyed. the only thing I didn't think about, I should have done one with I should have done it with the Ukrainian cloaking device, mine, and just had an empty stand.
Who was it that did it clean and stuck it in a Hot Wheels box?
That was Kentucky Mike.
Yeah,
that was good too.
That was quite a mix of approaches. It was interesting to see the differences in styles and ideas.
I did talk to the judging team afterwards, and again, they had a very tough decision. You know, I'm sure they saw mine. Mine was probably first to go, but for the remaining ones, they had a very tough judging system. Frank Donati from the Model Insanity had a good one. He made his up as a technical. And of course, with Frank, did it in 4 days.
Yeah, that was a
I don't know where is the time.
He got his kit last of anybody. Yeah. And I think he still had it finished before some people did.
Oh, exactly. I know. I don't know. I still think he has minions in his basement. He has tied up or something, house elves or something like that.
Well, he did a really good job. He did a good job.
Yeah. Overall, fantastic show. You placed, didn't you?
Yeah, my Zeppelin. Well, I don't know quite what I got now because I was looking at the list. I know what medal I have. It's a bronze. I got a third place. But according to the HeritageCon official list of winners, I got a silver. And I have no idea in a category I didn't know it was in.
So we'll have to find out.
I'll have to find out what's going on there.
The other thing we did is we did have our official challenge coins or our challenge poker chips. We gave a few of those out. People were very happy, excited to see that. One guy said he preferred that over the award. One of the ones that you gave out, Jeff.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what's funny? The way HeritageCon works, I'm sure all the conventions do it. They give everybody who attends a little red sticker, and you're supposed to go around and look at everything, and you put it on the one that's your favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of red stickers.
You did a lot of red dots. Yeah.
So that was actually worth. I mean, I appreciate the guy's comment about really, really liking getting that poker chip from us.
Yep.
Because I really think I appreciated those red dots a heck of a lot more than anything else.
I still think you should have won People's Choice. That's my opinion.
No, but, there was an outstanding level of.
But you know what? You know what's
craftsmanship
great? It was great to see the feedback. People were commenting. People were around that kid all day, and they just loved it.
It was funny. The most satisfying were all the kids. There were a lot of kids.
A lot of kids this year.
And they really thought it was quite a lot of fun to see these pterodactyls chewing down on the Zeppelin. So,
exactly. See?
Perfect. They got the joke, which is fun.
I know, exactly. All right. Speaking of another fun guy, Sean's Custom Model Tools. He was there this year.
Yep.
He had a couple of new things. We're going to be doing some new ads for him soon. But for now, here's his existing ad. Now we're going to talk a bit about Sean's Custom Model Tools, one of our other sponsors of the Scale Model Podcast. Some very cool things, both 3D printed and the Goodman Super Sanding Blocks. Let's start with the Microset and Microsole Decal Set Bottle Stand. This is purposely designed for the microscale set and sole. Most modelers over the years, they've tipped these bottles over. So this is a very handy thing. At $14.95, you can put them both together. They're printed in blue and red for easy identification. Comes with a black base, and they actually have little magnets on it, so it helps keeps them in place. Definitely a good deal. I use mine all the time, and I can well recommend them. Let's talk a bit about those Goodman Model Super Sanding Blocks, namely the Value Pack Combo for $28.99. You get the 80 grit, 180 grit, 220, 320, 400, and 600. Just an amazing set, just what you need. And you can also, if you want, you can also get a sanding Super Sanding Block stand for it, which also really makes life a little bit easier, helps things keep it organized. The other thing too is they have the awesome model tape dispenser for your various tapes. It's basically a 3D printed thing. You put spools of your tapes, it's got a little razor blade to help cut it, and it's really, really good design. So yeah, works out really well, and yours for $19.95. So check out these and other amazing deals at seanscustommodeltools.com and also on Facebook, and tell them that the Scale Model Podcast sent you. Okay, what's on the bench? So I have a lot of real life going on. My wife's took a tumble and she's in the hospital. She took a tumble on the Friday before HeritageCon, and then she took another one when I was driving back from HeritageCon. So, you know, the more creative the woman, the more ways they have of hurting themselves. So she tore her knee open, so they're going to have to figure out what they're doing there before they let her out. So I feel like a single father with all these cats and taking care of the household and all that. So not a ton of bench time. I did get a few more mechs, BattleTech mechs from Catalyst painted up. And I did start the Hasegawa F-15J in 1/72 scale. Got the front end almost done, and then I have to deal with a short shot right in the leading edge by the gun port. So of course it has to be awkward. I've never done one. So, you know, it's fun. I'm using my little tube of perfect plastic putty is dried up. So I'm using the Vallejo putty and some aqueous, like the Mr. Surfacer, but it's aqueous, the aqueous formula, the Mr. Surfacer 500, so it doesn't stink as much. And got it put down last night, did a bit of sanding. It's actually not half bad. I think one more little bit of shot of filler just to fill it in, and then I'm going to have to carefully carve out the area for the gun port. I think this is going to be another RCAF. What if? Someone was asking me that on Facebook, and I just put a like on there. So
yeah, may as well.
Exactly. I did get an order from AliExpress from China. I got that disc based circular sander with the little tiny sanding things, and it works quite well. Now, Jeff, you came up with your own homemade one, didn't you?
I did. It's right here. Basically, it's my old electric toothbrush that the activation button on it had got jammed because the rubber had sort of got ruined. And I just saw some guy on YouTube had done it, and he'd cut all the bristles off of the toothbrush part and double-sided tape, some wet and dry sandpaper onto it, and boom, off it goes. Perfect. Works great.
Good stuff. Okay, what else have you been working on, Jeff?
Well, I had promised a long time ago I'd been in the process of writing that article for IPMS Canada on the 2001 Discovery. Mm-hmm. And I got so far into it, and then I just got stuck because I couldn't figure out how to mount it. And anyway, in the process of writing an article about the Zeppelin build, I felt very guilty about not having finished that other one. So I did finish it. I finished it. I also added a HAL model kit to the background so that it's all kind of one thing. So now I have, those are my two articles for IPMS Canada gone. And so then I decided I actually really like writing those things. So they're kind of fun. And I enjoy working with Steve Sauve and his team. And so I decided to proposition him with a couple of other proposals, one of which is, you remember Pablo Calcaterra at one meeting came in and offered to sell people for a donation built up kits for, yes, RCAF 427 wing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was from a fellow who had passed away, and he donated all his kits, or the family had donated all his kits to the wing, and they were trying to sort of see if they could sell them off to to get you know, raise any money. I wound up buying about 10 of them. And because they're all weird, and we talked about this, I think, a while ago. But I thought maybe there's an article in there about how do you resurrect old built-up kits. So what's the process on that? So that's what I'm doing. I'm writing, and also dovetailing with that, Colson Water Bombers or water firefighting out of BC. They're the last people flying the Martin Mars water bomber. And they have donated they only have two left, and they donated them both, one to the U.S. Navy Aviation Museum in Pensacola and one to the British Columbia Aviation Museum in Sydney, awesome. British Columbia, which is just outside Victoria. And it'll be flying there from Port Alberni this fall.
Cool.
So they're making a big deal out of it. It's going to be pretty cool. So one of the kits I picked up was a resin Martin Mars water bomber in 1/44 scale. Very hard to find. And I thought, okay, I'll try and rebuild that. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm quite enjoying it. But in the process, I found that using that purple degreaser paint stripper stuff.
I know what's coming here. You told me this.
It's great. It's great for resin kits. It's probably not a good thing for clear plastic canopies, which I threw into this stuff and let everything sit overnight like I normally do. Next morning, it was gone. Like not even nothing. There was nothing. So that's the end of that one. But anyway, other than that, it seems to be working. And the other thing is I'm working on this 44 scale Revell 747 shuttle carrier aircraft with the shuttle. And this is the kit that I picked up at Heritage Con for a significant discount, and it needed a significant discount because when I looked into it later, I found it had no decals, it had no shuttle. Thankfully, I picked up another shuttle at the show, and it had no connectors, the things that hold the shuttle on top of the plane. So it's also going to be another article. working with incomplete old kits.
You're going to be the old incomplete kit guy.
There you go. And then we picked up. I picked up a bunch of old kits from a fellow ex-club member who was trying to pass them on to others, and we donated and sold a bunch around the club. One of which was this thing. It's a Sukhoi Su-25K in 1/48 scale from Plasticovi model.
Yeah, that's ancient.
Yeah, it's really old, but you know what? The mold is quite good, the detail. So I've been building this up, and that's where I'm at. And I'm quite pleased with it, but now I'm sort of stuck with what camouflage? I don't have anything to do with, you know, Soviet bloc, Soviet era.
You've got
era.
5 billion paint things. You must know something.
I'm going to have to mix my own. Yeah, exactly.
I find that hard to believe with all that paint you've got.
Yeah, I know. And the other thing, last, I promise it's last. At the show, I also picked up, I've always had a hankering for having a complete Century series. And the one I was missing was the XF-108 or the Rapier, which never actually was built. They just got it to a wooden mock-up stage. And I found a kit, a B-70 Valkyrie with an X-108 Rapier in it in 1/44 scale in resin.
He was very excited, Terry, when he saw it.
Yeah, Anagrand. I've seen that built up. I don't know how they get all those parts in the box.
It's remarkable because it's a small box.
Yeah.
It's not a big box. And I thought, this is okay. I don't know how this
it's a very flat aircraft.
Yeah, exactly. I got the 108 built. It kind of goes together very quickly. The Valkyrie, that's another story. There's some significant heating and bending required to get that sorted, and I'm not there yet, but anyway, that's where I'm at. It's been just busy, lots of building.
Okay, how about you, Terry?
I haven't been as busy building. It's a little lack of motivation and some lack of time, but I've been doing bits and pieces on a lot of different things, so eventually they'll get close. I've been painting that Rigolt, so I've got some blue down on it now. I've got to do a little bit more painting on that, and then maybe I'll get it together. Decals are on the XP-47H. They look pretty good. Need to get the rest of the kit put together, landing gear and such like that, and debating whether to rig it or not. I got to decide soon. been traveling a little bit, getting stuff done around the house, so it's been a little tricky.
Spring's here.
Yep. I've got to put the schedule together for the Wonderfest vehicle demos.
Okay.
I've got Mike Ward's going to volunteer to babysit it, to proctor it for a half a day. So
good stuff.
We can split that up. I won't be stuck in there all day long. Mm-hmm. I say stuck. It was really useful last year, so hopefully this year will be really good too. Bobble Gung will come back and do it. He's got the ship from what's the Apple Plus series? Foundation. He's got a big ship from Foundation. If you follow him on Facebook, you can see it. I'll put a link in for him.
Okay.
He's going to do a one on how to, when you're making your 3D files, how to properly break them apart so they can, you can print them and in pieces like a kit, instead of just slicing them into chunks where you have to, you know, fill in big broad seams across a whole model. So
makes sense.
That should be interesting. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So everyone's been busy. So what are we reading? What are we reading? I'm trying to read when I get a chance. So I've got two productivity type nonfiction. I'm reading Clear Thinking, Turning Ordinary Moments into Extraordinary Results. That's by Shane Parrish. Just in about halfway through. It's just kind of like both of these are kind of dealing with focus, which I really need a lot of. So it's not bad. And the other one I just started, Cal Newport, he's very famous in the productivity side. He's got one called Slow Productivity, The Lost Art of Accomplishment Without Burnout. And he's kind of, you know, saying like you need to have time in your busy. You can't just pack your schedule. You need to have time to just have times when you're, you know, you don't have something to do so you can think about these other things in your subconscious.
Yeah.
If you just load yourself up, you're going to get a lot of stuff done, but it's none of it's going to be that good, where it's better to get fewer things done, but just for them to be awesome, than to have a lot of stuff done that's just kind of, you know, meh. So I'm just into the first couple of chapters there, and it's been a good read. Cal always has a good read. So I've got the Amazon links in the show notes there. Jeff, what about you?
Well, just to finish that what you were just talking about, now that I'm retired, I can look back on my career and realize that probably 80% of the time, whatever I was doing was completely pointless and a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of it was meetings. Yep. A lot of it was
exactly.
Meetings. And so you could probably increase your time and decrease your lack of productivity by just cutting half the meetings out of anybody's schedule.
Yep.
I've been reading, I picked up a little while back, my daughter introduced me to, it was like not a dollar store, but it's like a Goodwill kind of store. Mm-hmm. And they have lots of books there. And I picked up a book called Journeys to the End of the Earth, Ends of the Earth by John Balkin. It's kind of an introduction to the history of exploration.
Right.
And it's like one of those coffee table cut, you know, books with lots of maps and pictures, but good text. And I enjoy reading that when I'm going to bed because I can sort of just stop anywhere. It's a great kind of a right. Topic to stop anywhere. You can read a little bit about a particular explorer and their history and find out stuff that I didn't know I hadn't heard about before. I'm also reading, and this is Terry's recommendation, An Immense World by Ed Young, which I'm reading on my iPad. And that's a fascinating book. It's really good.
It is, and it's just scratching the surface.
I know, and yeah, but there's so much. What I come away from thinking is, we are so parochial in our views of how the world is perceived by everybody else, everything else.
Everything else. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, and you really need to pull back and just rethink things a little bit. It really expands your horizons as far as how the world, what's in the world.
It's on my list to read as well. It's in my queue.
I've also been, just for sheer fun, I've been reading Secret Projects, Flying Saucer Aircraft by Tony Butler and Bill Rose. And this is like a classic modeler's research book.
Right.
For, if you want, what if projects. But also, I was curious, Dave Gertin is offering a bunch of kits on Wednesday night at our annual swap meet, one of which is a collection of three handbows.
Yes.
German flying saucer programs from the Second World War in 1/144 scale, I think it is. And I was tempted to get them Or maybe it's 1/300 scale, because that would be the perfect.
There are a bunch of different scales.
Yeah, but whatever scale it is, it's the same scale as my Zeppelin. And I thought I could incorporate them into the battle sequence of the pterodactyls.
Part two.
So who knows? It was a thought. So I started researching that.
You've already been bad with your pre-orders from Mr. Blappy.
Oh, yeah, I know. I owe him big.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of looking forward to it. But the one thing I will say as a to follow up on a recommendation Terry made a while back about a TV show, that the history of the world in six glasses.
I have to remind myself to find that.
We got it. And when my wife and I were down in Charleston at the end of March, or just before Heritage Con, and every place you go now, they don't have cable. Nobody has any local TV. Yeah. You've got to bring your own, streamer account passwords, and we never do. But I had brought my laptop because I had to do the club meeting email, and on it I had some videos that I had acquired in various fashions, and one of them was the History of the World in Six Glasses, and it's a lot of fun. Dan Aykroyd and his little compatriots talking about the history of wine or spirits or beer, coffee, mm-hmm. tea, and the historic elements that tie into it. It's really interesting, and cool. Even my wife found it fascinating. So it's definitely cool. high recommendation.
Very good. What about you, Terry?
I've finished up a couple things, just light reading and some nonfiction, just magazines and stuff. But I started reading Madeline Murray's Song of Achilles. I read her first book, Circe is its title, which was about the character Circe, who appears in a few places, notably the Odyssey, where she turns his sailors into pigs.
Right.
This one follows Patroclus, Achilles's roommate, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And I'm not too far into it, but her style is so engaging, and it's first person. It's looking at all of these myths in a totally serious way, right? So all this stuff that, Zeus came down, turned himself to a swan, and had his way with so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And then, she had a bunch of twins at the same time. So that kind of
as
stuff,
one,
right?
As one does.
Yeah. Some of them were demigods and some of them were humans, right? But that's kind of where it starts off, where he's an unwanted, an unloved child.
Right.
Patroclus is, and he's just a bundle of trauma, and finds his way to this. Well, is essentially sold off, but not sold. He's sent with whatever. But it's an interesting look into the world and into the mythology of the period.
Right,
and I have high hopes for this book. It's the first one was fantastic.
Interesting. Yeah, you'll have to let us know. Very good. Yeah.
And literally, Circe was the best book I've read in 10, 15, 20 years.
Okay. All right. Well,
Terry recommendations are seem to be having a good run. So
yes, they're always good. So worth to add to our to read files. Yeah. Okay. Also an interesting read. I found the Modeling News. They had a build guide for our Moosaroo Cup truck, URL 4320. It was quite hilarious reading.
Was it the subtext, things that Stuart should not have done?
Well, basically, yeah. There's a few other things,
maybe
too.
Open the kit.
Yeah, well, it did mention the plastic. How to size, you had to measure things off. Like I said, it's, it was interesting. And I quote, for such a small scale, you would have thought this would have been fairly easy to put together. However, wasn't as straightforward as I first thought. So read on and I'll show you the pitfalls and fixes. So there we go.
It's but a big fix.
Where was
don't
this?
Buy the model in the first place.
Where was this a year ago? That's all I'm going to say. Where the hell was this a year ago?
Yeah.
So Terry, you traveled to see the eclipse. Did you know, Jeff was right there too, but he had to babysit.
Yeah.
But anyway, where did you go to see it?
I went down to visit an old friend south of Indianapolis.
Very good. And
we had a good view. Yep, it was a little hazy, so we couldn't see the comet.
Right.
But we can see the planets that were out there.
Yeah, and we could see that too.
Yeah.
We were in London here. We had about 98% coverage, so we got to see the diamond ring pretty well. Yeah. I was at the hospital at the time, so I had a good view to the south, where it was like, you know, with the shadow, it looks like a very severe thunderstorm coming in.
Yeah, it's quite dramatic. I wound up, we had to, as you said, our house is on the north shore of Lake Erie, which is like right in the middle, in line of totality. And we couldn't be there because we had to go to London to babysit because the schools didn't want the liability of having all the kids running outside looking up at the sun. So they gave the kids all school days off and the teachers had PD days. And so we had to go babysit the kids.
But you still had fun with them. You did some stuff.
Oh, we had a great time because what we did was we got a bunch of paper boxes and made pinhole projectors. So stick a piece of sheet of paper inside the box and wear the box on your head and then aim it till you get the sun picture on the piece of paper. And they worked great and the kids thought it was funny and they learned some science and got some good pictures of kids running around with boxes on their heads. So
that's the perfect stuff for when they get older. You can embarrass the hell out of them. That's what grandparents do.
Yep,
exactly. Alrighty. So I think that's about it this time. Anything else anyone else want to add?
No, I don't think so. I think I keep forgetting how long it's been since Heritage Con.
I know. It's been like two, 3 weeks. Yep. Okay. We're sponsored also by our good friends at Return to Kit Form. Check out their website, return2kitform.com. Anything you need for your Macross models, like masks, you will find them there. So definitely check out what Brent and Chrissy can do for you there. If you want to know more about some of the other podcasts we talk about, check out modelpodcast.com. That's a compilation site that has all the podcasts, and you can get links right there to it. Please leave a positive review if you like what we're doing. 5-star reviews, it does help get the show in front of more ears and eyeballs, shall we say.
I was shocked at how many people came up to us at the show.
I know.
And said that they listened. I didn't think anybody listened to it.
I know. Yeah. And they recognized your voice when we were by your Zeppelin. Some guy says, I know that voice.
And I know that Zeppelin because they've been listening to it. Right. So that was impressive.
I think it was awesome. What else? We're on Facebook. We're on the YouTubes. And we also have our very own website. Again, home of the finest show notes, not just said by me, but by other people, scalemodelpodcast.com. We have some merchandise at Redbubble as well. So check those out. All the links, again, are in the show notes. So for episode 138 of the Scale Model Podcast, my name is Stuart Clark.
I'm Jeff Hyland.
And I'm Terry Measley, reminding you safety first. When you're cleaning up those yards with the ropes and the saws and everything, you need two hands to model.
It is indeed.
Think first.
I don't want just the claws.
No claws. Right. Awesome. Thank you and be well.